Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to the McSauce Podcast.
Welcome to episode 393 of the McSauce Podcast. My name is Paul McGinty. With me, as always, are Ian the Sauce Sharpley.
Hello.
And Matt Cassell.
Hello.
It is Tuesday night, November 16th, and a very happy birthday to friend of the show and our good buddy, Brian Shapinski. Brian, we know you're listening, and happy birthday to you, pal.
Today is his birthday?
Today is his birthday.
Hey, Brian, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Briz.
From McSauce, straight to your heart. It is...
What did you get Brian for his birthday? You can say now, because by the time he hears it, you'll have given it to him.
We don't do presents. Our friendship is enough.
Oh, one of those.
Yeah, I mean, we can buy whatever we
need. Happy birthday, Brian. We've got you nothing.
My love. That's what he gets.
As Michael Scott says, I love you this many dollars worth. Zero.
Tonight, this wonderful Tuesday night, the birth of the birthday of Brian Shapinski, we're talking about all kinds of stuff that Brian's probably not going to watch or be interested in because he's very loosely involved in comic book things.
He's very heavy into Golden Girls, so it's unfortunate. Oh,
I was thinking Murder, She Wrote for some reason. It's Golden Girls.
Close.
Yeah.
Close.
Does he like Murder, She Wrote?
I bet he does.
Yeah, I would lay That's my life on the line. Anything.
Angela Lansbury is 100% in his wheelhouse.
What? I'm sorry. I remember Murder, She Wrote being on and seeing
great theme song.
Her typing on a typewriter. What the heck? What was that show about?
You know what? I don't know. So let's make it up, right? She was like a traveling detective novelist,
right? And she just wrote.
I think I do know
about
what it was about, so I can't participate.
What's that? Oh, you remember Murder, She Wrote?
I think so. Well, I think she was a crime novelist that wound up being like a consultant for this
like a fiction novelist or
sleepy,
true crime,
sleepy, you know, northeastern town.
But it was always like murders of the week. She was involved, right?
Yeah. Well, no, she didn't commit the murders.
No,
she helped
but she solve was,
the
she
murders.
Wrote about them.
She
now,
wrote
wait,
about
was
them.
She? So she was writing about true crime.
The twist in the last episode of the series is that she did commit all of them.
Really?
It was Dexter before Dexter.
You know what? I heard that they're going to remake this, only it's Murder, She Podcasts.
So wait. What?
How? There has to be some show
Paul.
Out there, at least in development, that's a true crime podcast
there
that becomes a consultant for like the LAPD.
Paul, answer me this. Did she write about true crime or was she like a fiction writer?
I think she was a fiction novelist.
Okay,
but since she was in that mindset of like how to get away with things and putting stories together, she understood like
so
how to
she
put
moonlit
clues
as
together.
Help the real police. What the fuck?
Because she wrote about fake crime, so therefore she can
real
solve real
crime.
Yeah.
She uses her imagination to solve real crime.
Right. You know how she solves real crime? With her typewriter.
Very cool. What's exciting to me.
Some murder she wrote head is going to blast us on fucking social media.
Are losing their fucking shit in their cars, thinking that we're stupid because we don't remember Murder, She Wrote, the ins and outs.
I think that's an interesting, it does have a good title, though, that just kind of like
it's,
rolls off the tongue, Murder, She Wrote.
It's Castle, but with the lady. Like Castle,
they were gonna go with that as the title, but they've decided Murder, She Wrote.
It was Castle with a Lady.
But Murder, She Wrote.
Castle with a Lady.
People are like, "What's Castle?" That's not gonna be introduced for another 20 years.
Yeah, it would require time travel.
Yeah, I guess more appropriately,
time travel. She wrote
Castle is Murder, She Wrote with a man.
Man, why aren't we TV show producers, huh?
Anyway, happy birthday, Brian.
Yeah.
So we're going to get into a lot of Disney. What's it called? Disney Plus Day?
Disney Plus Day.
Disney Plus Day.
Disney Plus Day 2021. And maybe a half hour ago, that new Spider-Man No Way Home trailer premiered. We're going to talk about that. Lots to get to, so why don't we get to housekeeping with Ian Sharpley since we spent too much time on Murder, She Wrote.
You can send us all of your Murder, She Wrote hate to our social medias. We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, Instagram. You can tell us your favorite episode, what the actual plot of the show is, all that stuff. Hit us up on the socials. You can, if you would like to request us to watch episodes of Murder, She Wrote, go to our Patreon, plunk down $5, and request. We'll send you a survey, and you'll say, hey, I want you guys to watch the entire first season of Murder, She Wrote. And
don't do that.
We'll absolutely ignore it, but we'll probably watch one episode. Anybody out there listening to this, you've probably listened to 300-plus episodes of our show. Put down $5 and request Murder, She Podcasts, and we'll watch a couple of episodes for you. Guaranteed.
Like, would we watch it and then commentate on it, or would we do a live commentary?
We could do...
It looks like there are 12 seasons of Murder, She Wrote currently streaming on Peacock.
Jeez, oh man. So that would be easy for us. We could do one. So anybody out there that is not already a Patreon or a patron, go to Patreon, type in McSauce.
It's going to be funny when we watch the pilot and then we are instantly Angela Lansbros and we are in for 12 seasons of the show.
I can't wait till our
podcast. And this becomes McMurder, She Wrote.
I'm excited for it. I can't wait to see how many of our fans are going to all request episodes. So that's all I got.
All right, let's dive into Disney Plus Day 2021. A lot of logo reveals.
It sounds like Disney Plus Day equals underwhelming.
Ooh.
Well, let me get this pet peeve off my chest. I hate that Disney Plus is Disney with the plus symbol at the end. But everywhere it's written or hashtagged, it's PLUS. Why can't we use characters, non-letter characters, in a hashtag? Someone can figure that out.
I don't know.
So, lots of logos. We got some images from Ms. Marvel, She-Hulk, the White Batman. What's that show called?
Moon Knight.
Googly-eyed Knight. Look at that logo.
We got some X-Men 97 cartoon reboot. Are we
just an announcement though, right? Or was there actual
footage? That it's happening. There was no footage. I think the only image is their use of the sad Wolverine looking at the picture frame meme with the announcement on the picture frame. Yeah. Which is pretty funny.
I sort of think that it's a little bit missing the mark though, cuz for those that were around, 1997 was not a high watermark for X-Men. The cartoon, the books, all of like what you think of 90s X-Men, that all happened from like 1990 to 1994. I don't know why they picked 97.
Well, did the show end in 96? So therefore, this is kind of the
continuation.
Could be.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I've got a hot take right out of the gate. I didn't think that X-Men series was very good.
It was fine.
People seem to treat it like it's Batman the Animated Series these days. There's some real rose-colored quartz glasses going on with some people these days. That show's not that great. I understand it's a lot of sentimentality and nostalgia connected to that show.
Song.
It did. Wonderful theme song. But so does Power Rangers, and that's also not that great.
It doesn't.
But like Batman, the Animated Series was groundbreaking writing and animation. That's something, a real thing. And X-Men was, I balked that they even attempt to call it the animated series. It's the fucking X-Men cartoon because it's not that good.
It was good for distilling these big, long, operatic, gigantic storylines into bite-sized morsels that most people that were of a certain age grew to learn about the X-Men and the X-Men lore. That's how a lot of people know of the Phoenix Saga and Days of Future Past and all of that stuff, because all of that long-form storytelling was put into a half-an-hour chunk. So it does get kudos for that, where Batman the Animated Series sort of did something that was a little bit different, which was sort of tell, like, the definitive version of these characters, whereas X-Men was sort of like a dummy's guide for people.
X-Men for dummies.
Yeah, so it's like, it's sort of two different things completely.
Yeah.
Paul, I'm surprised you didn't like it then.
Yeah, like you guys are fond of saying, by the time that premiered, I was, you know, packing my briefcase and putting my tie on to go off to my career every day. Like I was too old. That was just that X-Men series was just out of my wheelhouse, but Batman was too a little bit. Like it was a little bit earlier, so I got some boots on the ground when it premiered, but I didn't really get into that Batman series until it was reran afternoons after school. And after
when you say
PTI,
school, you meant college.
Yeah,
I know what you meant.
He meant yeah. med but... school.
Yeah, after a long day slogging away at my doctorate, I came home, and I was like 99, 2000. I was recording all those Batman animated series episodes, and I was like, "Holy shit, this is great." And I still love that show. It's an amazing fucking show. But like I've seen episodes of that X-Men show then and now at various different ages of my life, and I'm just like, yeah, it's just a cartoon. Like I never really got the substance out of it that a lot of people did. Great theme song though, wonderful theme song. Mm-hmm. Matt, what's your relation to X-Men the animated series?
Well, for me. Those character designs are kind of like the definitive versions of the X-Men.
I agree.
You know, I feel like it did a wonderful job of moving from the comic book page to the screen. And, you know, it didn't really do much to change it. It just kind of translated it very literally. Whereas Batman, mm-hmm. the animated series, on the other hand, you know, took a lot of their own liberties and, you know, used, I think, maybe this isn't even really accurate, but kind of used the Tim Burton stuff as a little bit of
some aesthetic, like, framework.
Yeah, some framework. Yeah. And then obviously, like, kind of went in their own way.
Yeah.
Tried to make it somewhat kind of... Art Deco, but still kind of timeless and modern at the same time.
Yeah, there's never a version of Batman that looked like Batman the Animated Series before it. It was what Bruce Timm and Paul Dini thought of as this is like the greatest version of Batman, or what, like, the spirit of Batman should be is this.
Yeah, I feel like if Batman the Animated Series were to premiere today, outside of maybe the quality of the animation, it would feel just as current as it did then, because it's somewhat timeless. Mm-hmm. Whereas the X-Men is very distinctly rooted in the 90s, even though it incorporates much more futuristic tech and overall aesthetic, it's still just so intrinsically linked to the 90s. Paul, I didn't watch that many of the episodes. I probably watched more of season one than anything, and it didn't exactly grab me, like, to the point where I was tuning in every week. I don't know if I was bored by it over a short amount of time or if it's just not really my cup of tea, but I did love the first several episodes of it. You know, everything of Night of the Sentinel to Enter Magneto. I thought all that stuff was phenomenal. And frankly, just as good as just about anything on Batman, the animated series. I feel like once the story started to get more maybe complicated, I started to lose a little bit of interest. I felt like it was really accessible at first. And then it started to not
like feel. Any X-Men cards or comic book.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Like
the continuity just sort of collapses on top of itself.
Yeah, like it envelops all of it. Like when the Ultimate X-Men started, I thought it was so good, and I was like, oh my god, this is like, I'm actually into X-Men here. And then next thing you know, it's like, I don't think I know what's going on anymore. That was really good when it started, by the way, the Ultimate X-Men.
Yeah,
it was very grounded. Liked it. You know, it didn't get into the crazy dimension stuff yet. So
I recently read a couple of, it was probably last month, these two more recent trade paperbacks, the Powers of X and the the Powers of X and the Sword of Ten or something.
Are those fairly recent?
Yeah, like they came out last year, and it's, boy, would you guys hate it. A lot of dimension jumping.
Whoa, not you guys. I'm on board for dimensions and realities. That's what Matt doesn't like.
It was one of the better X-Men stories that I've read in a very long time.
Who wrote
very,
it?
Very, very crazy, but
who wrote it? You don't remember? You didn't give a shit?
No, I want to say it was Rick Remender.
Rick Remender? He's not a favorite here on the Mixsauce podcast, is he?
I don't know. It's been so long since I've read a book. I forget who
he wrote and don't Deadly like. Class, and he wrote Fear Agent.
Here, let me rewind. So, okay, it's called The House of X and the Powers of Ten, and it is Jonathan Hickman. That's who it is. I do like Rick Remender. But yeah, Jonathan Hickman, those two guys to me have similar styles where sometimes it can be way too convoluted. And I think that's what initially stopped me from reading it, but really good stuff.
I feel
really
like
great art.
That's I think a problem that most modern big company comic book writers have is letting their words get just in the way of storytelling, frankly. It's like I'm reading ego before plot.
Yeah. Well, let's try to stay on track a little bit tonight. Lots to get through.
Oh, excuse me. Like
lots to get through.
We got the,
I'm sorry. Do you guys want to muse more about?
No. X-Men? No, we got the tangent police over here. We can't.
where were you going with that comic book talk there, Mr. Sharpley? Is it?
Please step out of the car. Sir. You know we don't do that here anymore.
Do you have a license to talk about X-Men?
So let's bump to this little thing down. Let's bump to these couple of things real quick because I don't think any of us are going to watch them. Spider-Man Freshman Year and I Am Groot.
Well,
they
Spider-Man
seem like two
freshman year.
Animated shows.
Why would we not watch a show about Spider-Man?
So dismissive.
Get right. There's going to be a lot of that tonight, so buckle up. So, like, I Am Groot, that sounds like it's going to be primarily, like, for kids.
Okay.
You don't do an I Am Groot show that's, like, for adults, right? When it's, like, the little baby Groot in the logo.
I don't know.
Like, that's not... There's
Is
no way that can be
show?
Something we're interested in. I think it's going to be animated, CG. I didn't read a lot about that or anything about that. IGN just seemed to gloss over it. But Spider-Man Freshman Year will be animated about the Tom Holland Spider-Man learning his place in the MCU after he gets his powers. So it's going to be like Spider-Man Begins.
They should start it with the like Amazing Fantasy 15. I know it's been done to death, but I still feel like, hey, if you're going to do it in an animated format, start there. Start at the beginning.
I think I did read that it's going to be in like early Spider-Man comic style. it's going to be, the animation is going to probably look a little bit like Steve Ditko.
It would be nice if they had any samples of that.
Yeah, it is hard to get excited. And that's the problem with all of these logo releases, because let's face it, Paul, Disney Plus Day was a logo dump more than anything.
I can't tell if this image here that I'm looking at is fan art or if this is...
Can I say that again?
It's fan art.
Mm. Yeah, I mean...
I do...
It would be cool if it kind of looked like
I
that,
do generally but, like the logo, though, because they, you know, it's going with the classic Spider-Man font. I like that they have it written on notebook paper. Obviously, that links it to, you know, school in earlier years. So I like that. It probably will be good. I'm not going to dismiss it. I'll check that out.
Nice.
Yeah. This logo has me excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a Spider-Man guy.
You are a Spider-Man guy for sure.
In the trash. So yeah. For sure.
I'm sorry. I was being so dismissive.
What
so
do you
dismissive?
Want to tell you? Let's get to what Paul, X-Men, who can hear Spider-Man.
That's like, not.
Let's get to what you want to
no,
talk
that's
about.
No, that's not what I was doing. I was honestly looking at these properties like, what are we going to just sort of roll over? And what do we really want to talk about as a unit here, the three of us, not just like, you know, what do I want to talk about?
Well, I think we've talked about all the stuff from Marvel that looks kind
of
interesting.
Did either of you watch What If Season 1?
I did.
All of it?
Yes, I did. And I really enjoyed it.
Yeah?
I did. A lot of the stories were separate up until the last two episodes. Matt, I know that you, that's something that you kind of were saying that you weren't going to like whenever they brought things together like that. But I really enjoyed it. It was
so they did end up bringing it together. So they just essentially created an alternate.
Not really.
Timeline.
I mean, they picked different characters from the different dimensions and put them into one dimension fighting a particular version of Ultron that had secured the Infinity Stones and become this like hybrid Thanos, Vision, Ultron kind of godlike character that could skip through all the dimensions. So to combat him, they picked, the Watcher picked champions from all the different shorts that you watched throughout the season. So I thought it was fun. I liked it. So I did watch What If. I enjoyed it. I would watch a second season of it.
So they released the logo for Echo, minor Daredevil character. That's all we know about it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if Charlie Cox
it's
is sort of going to be in it, I
it's kind of weird that we're getting an Echo show before we get any kind of proper Daredevil in the MCU kind of treatment.
Well, is No Way Home going to be sort of the backdoor pilot for that? Well, they did announce it.
Who
it's
even knows?
Charlie Cox, Deborah Wool, and Vincent D'Onofrio are all coming back as those characters. I don't know who else is coming back because they didn't release
I hope they do a Daredevil movie. I feel like that character should be in a movie and not...
We know you're lean toward movies and TV shows are utter trash. But I think with a complex character like Daredevil, you really get into who he is more if you have more time to spend with him. Other than just like, hey, here's 2 hours where we also need to tell you who Karen Page is and who the Kingpin is and who Foggy is. Where like all that time is split between multiple characters.
How could a movie ever introduce 4 characters?
I know it can be done, Matt. I'm not a complete moron, minor moron. But I think with a really interesting character that has a lot of depth like Daredevil, it benefits him and his world to stretch it out a little bit. Maybe give us, you know, 8 episodes instead of just like 2 hours.
Daredevil's so complex. He's so deep. He goes into the depths of hell, Ian.
I mean, it's not the depth. It's just the kitchen. I mean, calm down.
Not just any hell.
True.
What else is over there? Marvel Zombies animated series. Who could ever give a shit? Next.
What do you want to talk about?
No, I want to. I'm not trying to like get to what I want to talk about. I'm just trying to go through all these logos, get a little, you know, get a little something from all of us on how we feel about this logo dump. Well, you guys can fucking lead then. I'm trying to not make this podcast 2 fucking hours because we're easily going to spend 45 minutes on No Way Home and we're already at, what, like half an hour? So whatever you guys want to fucking talk about.
We're at 25 minutes.
Whatever you want to talk about, Matt. Ian thinks I have an agenda while I don't have an agenda.
Well, okay, here's what we're going to do, Paul. We're going to do lightning round.
That's what I was fucking trying to do.
All right. Ian, give me... lightning round reaction to Agatha House of Harkness.
I don't really care, but I think...
Okay, so Paul, give me your reaction to Marvel Zombies. Lightning round, go.
Trash, next.
She-Hulk. Ian, what do you think?
Throw that over to Paul because he likes that.
Paul,
throw.
She-Hulk, green muscles, green
love
sexy
Tatiana
muscles.
Ooh,
I do like some green sexy muscles, but I don't care about that girl.
Yeah, I love Tatiana Maslany. I love that she's got about a billion teeth in her mouth.
She has no muscles, though.
But
how
she
can
is,
you be muscle-less?
She makes
so,
up for it in teeth. In
she
teeth
is so
count.
Tiny. And there's a still with her and Mark Ruffalo's hulked up. He's hulked up. She is not. Because
she can't
like,
be.
I don't know if they're going to give her the full CG treatment. I feel like since it's a series, they're going to skimp on it a little bit. And we're going to see her more as just... a regular person and not actual She-Hulk.
But hey, at She-Hulk, least we can get into the depths of this character.
Hey, this isn't about Daredevil. But She-Hulk in the books is always fucking She-Hulk. She's never
a
normal person.
Oh, so this
person.
Is a shallow kid. So shallow Hulk.
But she also
no, Matt,
is, isn't She-Hulk
I
like,
see what you're trying to
tall
do.
And like buff and isn't
she's
this
fucking
actress,
huge.
Isn't this actress like 5'2"?
Yeah.
What
she's
the
little
fuck
biddle.
Are they doing then?
Yeah, but like that's like I don't get it. Like I have no real tie to the She-Hulk comic anyway, but it just feels like a huge misstep. Like She-Hulk needs to be CG the entire time. When have you ever seen She-Hulk in a comic where she wasn't green and buff?
It's a weird logo, I will say that. It's a thin font. It's against a like a green night sky with a silhouetted city in the backdrop. It's just weird. I don't know what that is saying. It's kind of one of the weakest of all of the logos.
Well,
released.
Like I get the split in it is, you know, denoting the split between her and the Hulk personality that comes out. But I just don't know how this is going to work. I'm on board for any Tatiana Maslany project, but
all right.
So I'm definitely going to watch this one.
All right,
I
Ian.
I don't have much faith in that.
Lightning round, Ian. Miss Marvel.
Ms. Marvel.
Ms. Marvel. Googly Eye Knight, aka Moon Knight. Did we already talk about that?
No, but I think that could be fun. I like Moon Knight. I like a white Batman.
I think this could be the show that actually makes me like Moon Knight because everyone seems to love Moon Knight, and I don't fucking get it. I've read Moonlight. I've read a bunch of different variations on Moon Knight, and I'm always like, this is super fucking weird. Like, I don't really get why he's so cool other than the costume.
I always remember one of the million times that Moon Knight had a new series out and then was canceled, being at the comic book shop, shout out to the Phantom in the Attic, and I was talking to Tom, and he was like, if everybody liked Moon Knight as much as they say they would, he wouldn't get canceled every 2 years.
Yeah, it's like they every couple years they gotta roll them out again so they don't lose that license.
I don't think that they would lose the license though, buddy.
Do you remember?
I guess they do.
Do you remember in the 90s when Stephen Platt drew Moon Knight?
Absolutely, ripped. He was Moon He-Man.
Like those Moon Knight issues were so cool. Like the way that he drew it.
Yeah.
It was like. It looked like McFarlane was drawing Moon Knight or something.
Absolutely, yeah.
100%. So cool.
Yeah,
I never did get, what was that, Moon Knight number 55 or something like that, 56?
I have that one.
You got
the
it.
Three
oh,
issues
cool.
that, I'll have to bring them over. I think Stephen Platt only drew like three issues before Rob Liefeld like scooped him up.
Yeah. And ruined his career.
But yeah, man, like it was so awesome back then. And I'm sure now, if looking at it, I'm probably going to, oh, that looks like shit.
But it's full of style, at least. It looks so cool. I look at modern comics, it's like none of it has like a distinct style. Like no guy kind of has their own like thing. Anyway, then we talked about What If. We talked about I Am Groot. Ironheart. Paul, are you excited about Ironheart?
No.
What is it? A show? A movie? What?
I don't know.
Is it Iron Man 4?
I don't think so. I have no idea. I didn't see any breakdown of it other than the logo and that it's happening.
Okay, so Ironheart is happening. Ironheart is girl Iron Man.
Riri Williams. I have such a hard time saying all of those, like, Riri Williams, all of those, like, top of the mouth consonants.
Riri Williams, yeah.
I don't care. I didn't care about her in the comics. I don't care about her in the movie.
Well, I don't think anybody cared about her in the comics, because, correct me if I'm wrong, but that ended.
We don't know. I'm not reading current Marvel comics, so she may be the leader of the Avengers right now, for all I know.
Ian, Secret Invasion. Do we talk about Secret Invasion?
We didn't talk about Secret Invasion. I guess it would depend on how big they want to go with it. In the comic books, it was a summer spanning, gigantic blowout crossover. They had Secret Invasion, the main comic, and then running through Avengers, they had sort of like the background story of how the Skrulls had infiltrated at different times into the Avengers.
Did Secret Invasion follow Secret Wars or vice versa, or are they completely unrelated?
Secret Wars was a couple. There are a few Secret Wars, right? The ones in the 80s and then the ones more recently.
Yeah, those are the ones I'm referring to.
No, Secret Invasion happened around 2007, 2008.
Yeah.
I remember it coming out, I think the first, actually 2008, because I think that the first issue came out right around whenever the first Iron Man came out. So, yeah, but those were disconnected from each other.
When did this, do you remember when the Secret Wars came out?
If I had to guess, I would say Secret Wars came out in 2017, 18, somewhere around
there. Oh, wow.
So it was it was very...
Oh, I thought they were way closer than that.
No, big gap in between.
Okay.
And I don't think very...
Weren't they both Bendis, or...?
They were, but I... Maybe Secret Wars was not Bendis.
All this comic book talk tonight, Ian.
I know.
Who knew?
I think, and it's funny, behind the scenes, everybody, we were completely shitting on comic book talk before we started having some comic book talk. Secret Wars came out in 2015, so I was close. And it was written by Jonathan Hickman.
Well, let's verify, when did Secret Invasion come out?
Let's see here. I'm pretty sure it was 08.
I'm going to guess 2010.
2008. April through December 2008.
Okay. But written by Bendis.
Yes.
Okay.
Like I said, I really liked the... I like that there was a main book, and then there were tie-in books that followed. The main book was like all the big stuff that happened throughout the Marvel Universe. Mm-hmm. And then the New Avengers was sort of like following in real time what was happening, but more intimately with the Avengers. And then I think that like the Secret Avengers, or there was another Avengers book that had, oh, well, this is how the Skrulls actually did it. Like, this is who they took over. This is what point of the Marvel Universe this stuff happened. Mm-hmm. And it was cool to have like, sort of like two ends of this, or like a front side of the story and a back side of the story.
That was the series I only bought the main title. Right. I only bought Secret Invasion.
I bet it was confusing.
And all the, no, it was fine. Yeah. Like I understood, but it was all surface level fight 'em ups, because all the interesting things happened in all the ancillary individual books, where you saw the takeovers and when, you know, like Mockingbird wasn't Mockingbird anymore, and like all this stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. to me,
it was good. It was good.
I feel like that's more of a, like, that's how we should kick off the next phase of the Marvel Universe. And
the
not
MCU.
Just, yeah, MCU, and not just a TV show.
Yeah, because that's a really story. Cool story. But we already made the Skrulls good guys, so we can't do that now.
Whoopsie.
Paul, was there any other Disney Plus Day announcements that caught your attention?
Obi-Wan Kenobi, Matt.
Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan.
I'm sorry. You may be more familiar with Ben Kenobi.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh. Of course.
Yeah, you know, he lives out beyond the Dune Sea.
Yeah, right. Strange old hermit.
Yeah, that's okay. The guy. That's the guy. I don't... Yeah, Obi-Wan, though. I hear some people calling him Obi-Wan at some point. So what's his fucking real name? His real name's Obi-Wan?
Obi-Wan.
And Ben's like the Jim Lindsay.
Who?
Sorry, that's for you Dexter fans out there. Yeah, like Ben Kenobi's not his real name. I always thought like Ben was his real name and like Obi-Wan was just sort of his like Jedi title or something. This is growing up years and years ago before like I got older and became like a adult dork for Star Wars.
Yeah.
But yeah, I always thought his name was sort of like Ben Obi-Wan Kenobi. Like, he sort of went by his middle name for a while.
Oh my God.
No, you never thought that?
That's how he signed his mortgage, Ben Obi-Wan Kenobi. No, if anything, Ben was the nickname. It would be Obi-Wan in quotes, Ben Kenobi. Yeah. But no, I think it was just an alias. I don't know why he didn't change his last name, too, but, you know, I think Star Wars has set a weird...
Also the problem with the name Skywalker floating around there.
Star Wars has set a weird precedence on how these characters like to go into hiding.
It's a pretty unique name, unless Skywalker is the Smith of the Star Wars universe. But I didn't see anyone else named Skywalker that wasn't related to
the Skywalkers. I sure was
hoping
we would get a spinoff project for Star Wars that would explain why... The name Skywalker is Skywalker. It's something that's always bothered me. If only they could clear that little confusion up. Right, Solo? Right, John Kasdan?
Matt, you said earlier before we started recording that the more you sit with Solo, the more you dislike it.
Yeah,
and
no question.
Yeah, I agree, buddy. I don't think it's that great. I think there's a lot of stupid shit in that movie.
A lot of stupid shit. A lot of
unnecessary
stuff that,
unnecessary shit in that movie.
They created something to fill in the gaps, and all they ended up doing was like kind of creating more of their own gaps, and then they left it hanging because it didn't do well because nobody gave a crap. Nobody wanted it in the first place. It was a very self-indulgent project by Lawrence Kasdan that got wrapped up into working on The Force Awakens, so he gave it to his hack son to create god-awful storylines of sweet Lando robot love and unnecessary last name explanations. Horrible.
So here's the thing. Like, I think a lot of us did want a cool... Han Solo, young Han Solo movie. Like, I wanted that. I thought that would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Han, Lando, Chewie, when they're young, hip, swinging, galaxy-spanning swashbucklers. That would be fun. But what we got was just shitty.
Yeah, it focused on the wrong things for me. And this is not the Solo breakdown. You can go listen
to
episode two.
No, it's 20? Not episode 2.
220. I was thinking what number, when would
you're
Solo
really just
going
to try to guess what episode
it was?
Fucking
know. I have no fucking idea.
Go check 220. If it's not that, come back next week and we'll guess another one for you.
If it's not 220, use context clues, determine what we're talking about in that episode and how that falls and when Solo came out.
So,
Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan is coming. It's going to be a maxi series. Is that a thing?
I thought it was going to be 6 episodes.
For the record, episode 220 is Thor Ragnarok. It's called Like Science.
That sounds familiar.
Is that when Paul said, I know, like, science? Okay.
Yeah.
That was during our the time when we were going for our doctorate. When I was back, episode 220, when we were in med school. McMed.
What were we...
I don't know.
Obi-Wan.
Right. What I forget what
Maxi
we...
series.
Right.
I heard it was only going to be mean? I don't know. I heard it was only going to be six episodes.
Yeah, like four or six or something. You know, it seems like they have a definitive story that
I
they
hope
wanted.
It's not four. I want more Ewan McGregor Obi-Wan. Granted, we haven't seen a fucking lick of this thing yet and it could very much stink. But man, do I love Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi. I'm going to be so fucking pissed if this
is
four
too.
Episodes.
I don't know how I generally feel about this. To me, it's a missed opportunity to not have the Darth Maul Obi-Wan rematch or even include Darth Maul in it in some capacity, especially if you're going to have Darth Vader. I feel like all the fanboys kind of have always kind of dreamed about Darth Vader versus Darth Maul. This could have been a great opportunity to have that happen, but instead they're a slave to a cartoon show and they're trying to put over a character like Ezra. And now we have to adhere to the way that Darth Maul's storyline paid off in a cartoon show. We can't do something amazing and awesome with these actual actors that portrayed these characters initially, which is really what people would want to see.
Really unsatisfying in Rebels too, because it was more of a cerebral experience than it was like a great lightsaber duel between the two of them.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen it, but I cherry picked that. Like, I didn't even watch the episode. I just watched that scene. And, yeah, it was very unsatisfying.
Yeah, even if you watched the entire thing like I did, it's not like... It's not a situation where if you watch the two episodes of story leading up to it, it's this huge payoff.
Yeah,
it's not. It isn't. It's like they dump... It's like episode, and then, oh, this one has Obi-Wan and Darth Maul in it.
Yeah,
and then they have, like, some weird...
That like, Obi-Wan stuck out like a sore thumb, too, within the context of that Star Wars Rebels, like kind of bright, colorful, cartoony look. And then they bring in a very Alec Guinness-esque version of Obi-Wan that was cool. Like, it's like, why isn't this a show all by itself? Maybe that's what we'll get out of the Ewan McGregor one, but they've already killed Darth Maul. What a missed opportunity. I think that they should seriously decanonize that and just do what they want to do.
Right out of the gate in Phantom Menace.
Well, perhaps, but if that's the case, then you don't have a Ewan McGregor Obi-Wan. You don't have a Darth Maul ever. So.
What do you mean?
If the Phantom Menace was the missed opportunity, then you don't get anything.
Well, no, I think he should have been the main bad guy for all three movies.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For
and
sure.
Then you can
episode
still have,
three probably.
You can still have this if you don't kill anyone.
Episode three probably should have been, what, 2/3 Darth Vader at least? Or at least half Anakin as Darth Vader in the armor?
Yes.
And it probably could have ended with Darth Vader killing, or at least in the beginning, Darth Vader killing Darth Maul. You know, to essentially take the mantle right. Or the, you know, the apprentice spot. But instead they foolishly killed him and brought in Count Dooku, who, you know.
Stunk. He's dumb. Dumb
kinda.
Name.
Yeah.
Dumb name. Real dumb name. A bunch of missteps have been made along the way. But we're going to get an Obi-Wan series. I assume he's going to be fighting that Crimson Dawn cartel or something.
Who could even know? But it looks like for sure he's going to fight Darth Vader. There's concept art. They're battling. Obi-Wan is assuming a very Luke Empire Strikes Back-esque pose as he is dueling Darth Vader. Did you notice that? He was in the exact same pose that you used to see on all that Empire like promo art and stuff. And it looks like they're in some kind of fiery setting. Maybe that's Mustafar. Maybe Obi-Wan goes back to try to like talk to Darth Vader. Cause if you remember,
A New Hope.
No. In Return of the Jedi, Darth Vader said something along the lines when he's talking to Luke, he was like, Obi-Wan once thought like you did, where clearly he's trying to bring him back to the light side. And we don't really ever see that in the movies. Obi-Wan gives up on Anakin pretty quickly. And maybe rightfully so. He did see videos of him committing genocide against children.
This is also classic Star Wars rationalization, as you have to do if you're a Star Wars fan.
Well, you call it rationalization. I just think that there's so many aspects to it. You can analyze it from like all kinds of different ways. I don't think it's rationalization.
Well, it's because we have to... Well, I mean, it is because we're putting together stories that don't connect for years. Like George Lucas made a shit ton of errors in that, like, none of it lines up. Like, Star Wars fans are left jumping through all these fucking hoops to make everything line up to some extent so that it all makes sense to like fan continuity brain. It just fucking doesn't. It doesn't. Like, we could absolutely have a actual fight. Like, I think all the fights are going to be in like Obi-Wan's dreams or through like the Force in some ethereal plane or some shit. I don't think Darth Vader's actually going to land on Tatooine.
Are they
going to
have that flash fight that like what happened in Episode 9?
Force Skype.
Right, where they are fighting, but they're really in different rooms.
Yeah, I think they're probably going to have some weird shit like that. Like, I don't, even that, like, I don't think they're actually going to meet. I think they're gonna. It's gonna be in some like weird dream sequence or.
I think they can do it. I think you can do it, and things will still line up with.
George Lucas didn't give a shit about continuity. JJ and Rian Johnson didn't give a shit about continuity. Fuck continuity. They can do whatever the fuck they want.
Continuity, schmontinuity.
If Darth Vader lands his fucking TIE fighter right on the Lars farm and is like, "Where's my kid?" and then Obi-Wan fights him like, "I'm gonna save this kid." And then Darth Vader takes off, I'd be like, yeah, that's complete Star Wars. That
makes sense. Like,
because some fucking fanboy will hit me up on Twitter and be like, well, actually, the reason he did that is because in A New Hope, when he says this word, blah, 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 blah,
my,
blah.
My kind of like dream version of the show would be bring Darth Maul back, kind of pretend the cartoon didn't happen. Darth Maul has been hunting Obi-Wan for... ever since he came back, and he finally tracks him to Tatooine, and then Darth Maul threatens Luke in some way, and that's when like Obi-Wan just lets loose and fucking destroys Maul at that point. Like, we see almost like the dark side come out of Obi-Wan as he's protecting Luke, and Luke has no idea that any of this is happening.
But he's a dumb baby.
He's just a dumb baby. He's gonna be like 10 years old in this, right?
This is like probably gonna be that kid from Stranger Things.
Of course, he's in everything, right? Right. It's going to be that. No. It's going to be the redhead from Solo.
That kid from Stranger Things is going to be 42 by the time it comes.
Yeah, Matt, I'm on board. Like, I really wish that it was going to be like an Obi-Wan Maul fueled, thing. But since like Disney seems so locked into, they're like, their continuity and everything. Well, since that's happened in Rebels, this can't happen again. He's already dead by this point. Like, yeah, it's fucking dumb. Just like write, just make the fucking best story you can. Fuck continuity. Comics have been doing it for fucking years. Comics try.
I love how you're like saying how nice it would be to have some continuity. And now here you are like, fuck continuity. 2 seconds later.
Oh, well, maybe I talked myself out of it. But, George Lucas he wrote the fucking first ones. That's what incenses me so much about the prequels, is he could have made all of this fucking work. And then he was fuck it.
He didn't have anybody checking his work. Like, he just kind of, he's too whimsical. and he's left to his own devices. Nobody had the guts, or the structure wasn't set up in a way that you could challenge the Emperor. But he needed somebody. I don't know if that would have been Rick McCallum as the producer that could have said, hey, George, you know, this doesn't exactly line up as tightly as maybe we want it to. Instead, they just kind of rolled with it. And maybe they did that initially with like episode one and two. And they're like, okay, just trust me, it'll come together. And they did make an effort to try to make it kind of tighten up there at the end of, I think, episode three. But they kind of went in such a bizarre direction initially that it was almost too late to try to, you know, connect those loose ends. But definitely, like, to me, I always thought that kind of the last hour of Revenge of the Sith did start to feel a little bit more like Star Wars as we know it. But we probably should have started getting that feeling at least by the second episode, right?
Or probably the first scene in Phantom Menace.
Well, I was okay with it feeling somewhat separate, like the different time, different, you know, context, and the galaxy wasn't at war, all that stuff.
Ian, you've been awfully quiet over there. Do you have any thoughts about Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Not a ton.
His name, his look, Ewan McGregor. Did you see Dr. Sleep?
I did see Dr. Sleep.
Did you like it? I thought it was very good.
It was
good.
Okay.
No tangents. Cool. No tangents.
Yeah.
Did you think Dr. Sleep lined up with The Last Jedi?
I did want to redirect the fans if they want to listen to a full breakdown of Solo. Go to Spotify. Go to episode 241.
241.
Pointless Antagonism. And that's the Solo
Pointless
episode.
Antagonism.
What's it called?
Pointless Antagonism.
What's this episode going to be called? I don't know if we have a good title yet.
I don't know. I'll tell you what. Our title game is perfect. 239 Poop Soup. I mean, come on.
2 weeks from now is great title game.
Yeah.
Teaser for that. So, Ian, Obi-Wan, you're going to watch it. You're not going to watch it. You like it?
Yeah, no? I'm going to watch it. Yep. Should be fun. I will watch it.
What do you want it to be, anything in particular?
You guys covered it all. I don't have any expectations.
We'll very, very quickly touch on the last thing from Disney Plus Day, that little Willow featurette, which I think we can all agree was surprisingly more entertaining than we anticipated.
Than anything we watched tonight.
Right. If they can bring... I mean, it doesn't have to be that same sense of humor, but Willow was funny.
Mm-hmm.
If they are able to capture, like, a really good sense of humor with endearing characters, which they already have in Willow himself, maybe they could be onto something. I am nervous without Val Kilmer if the show can be good, because he was the best part of Willow. So without Val Kilmer, looking at this cast, I'm like, I don't know. But
they have Empress Nest.
They do have Empress Nest. Well, hopefully she dies in the opening scene.
The Mad Mardigan character is probably going to be that, like, dancing brick. Or whatever that guy's name is that had a shirt unbuttoned to his navel.
Dempsey
Brick. Something
oh,
like
I
that.
Thought, yeah. I thought the other guy was going to maybe be the Mad Mardigan. The darker complected.
Oh,
Flash Thompson from Spider-Man.
No,
other guy. Amar. Amar? Amir? Amar,
yeah.
That guy.
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely thought, like, Val Kilmer, the handsome white guy, going to be recast with handsome white guy.
Well, it's the shirt that got me. I was like, that's how we do it. That's how we tell Mad Mardigan.
Yeah.
Mardigans throughout the ages.
Mardigans
have always had a deep V.
They wear blouses.
I don't think that his name wasn't Mad Space Mardigan. That was one word.
It was John Mad Mardigan.
It was John Mad Mardigan.
It was Ben Mad Mardigan.
Anyway, Warwick Davis, his timing was impeccable.
I thought that featurette was so fucking funny. Warwick Davis is so funny in that. Like, why haven't I watch like a sitcom or some comedy with him in it. Like, he's fucking gold.
He made that. Leprechaun. And he's funny in Leprechaun.
Everyone else is really good in that too, but like, they're all
playing second fiddle to
him. Right.
His.
He is the star of that featurette, mm-hmm. and he's really good in it. And like, I love hearing that Willow music. Matt, I don't have the Willow boner that you've had for all these years, but hearing that music, I'm like, man, that's a really good
James
fucking
Horner
theme song.
When was the first time that you watched Willow, Paul?
When I was like eight.
Eight.
I thought you didn't see it until much later.
Oh no!
When you came home from medical practice, and you're like, "Let me watch Batman and Willow."
I got done with my heart transplant, and was like, "Let me pop on Willow to relax."
My hands are covered in blood. Where's Batman?
The blood of General Kale. I had seen Willow as a kid a bunch of times, but it just wasn't part of like my hierarchy of all the shit that I was into as a kid. But yeah, I like Willow. We didn't watch Willow, but I watched Willow a couple years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good.
It is. It's Willow's cool. Willow's a cool movie.
Hey, I've gone on record saying that I prefer it to Lord of the Rings. Yeah. On record, Ian.
Yeah, you have. We don't dispute that.
I don't know if I really think that, but it's
I want it to be really good. I think they have, I don't know. I think they kind of have a high bar to clear this, because the original is really good and it's really earnest and it's funny, but it's not funny at the expense of any of the characters or the plot. It has that kind of built-in Indiana Jones humor to it, Star Wars humor. I want it to be that. So maybe if they can strike a Stranger Things chord with it. Sure.
Is what was the
Finn Wolfhard in it? I don't think he is. I think he's playing
he is
Willow.
He's going to be Matt Mardigan.
Oh, he's not Willow.
No.
What is the comedian's name that was the one of the brownies? I'm trying to think of his name.
I can't remember. It was something Baker, right? No, no.
No, no,
you
no.
Thinking
no.
of Kenny Baker? Of R2-D2
fame? Why am
fame?
I blanking on it?
No.
Matt, I don't know what you're talking about. The brownies that are in Willow?
Yeah, the little tiny creatures. God.
Yeah, I don't remember the comedian.
Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue. What the fuck is his name?
To the point where you're talking about Lord of the Rings against Willow, I'll tell you this. I never dressed up as any character from Lord of the Rings in my life.
Ian, I didn't have any emotional connection with Lord of the Rings until I accidentally started reading it 2 years before.
Kevin Pollak.
Kevin
Pollak was one of the brownies.
National treasure.
I wonder if he'll be in this one.
He's still alive.
I like that you accidentally started reading Lord of the Rings. How does that, like, you were what? Like, reading directions on trying to like cook a pizza, and you're like, oh shit, it's Lord of the Rings.
Well, I mean,
the Fellowship.
What I mean by that is I started reading it around coincidentally.
There we go.
Around the same time
that the
Peter Jackson decided, hey, I'm going to make these movies. So as I was like halfway through Two Towers, mm-hmm. it was like, hey, the OneRing.net was up, and like a lot of those early Dorrance years that we spent together mm-hmm. were I spent looking up Lord of the Rings shit, because I was reading it as fan news was coming out, and like, so it wasn't like I saw, oh, they're making a movie, I better read the book. Like, I just happened to be like, all right, I'm old enough now, I've had these books in my possession for years, mm-hmm. I'm gonna start reading them. And it just happened to coincide with the release of those.
Yeah.
20 years old, those movies.
Yeah.
Well, wow. Fellowship, anyway.
Yep. Just this past week, right?
Yeah. I haven't seen those, and not to get off on another tangent, but I haven't seen those, like, start to finish, even one of them, in at least 10 years.
I feel like I watched that trilogy and then the Hobbit trilogy, I want to say last year,
yeah,
around Christmas time. I think I sat down and watched them because I clearly remember tweeting something about the Goblin King's fucking ball chin. And I want to say that that's because I was watching them all like back to back to back.
Yeah. Hobbit movies stink.
They're not good.
I liked them.
Well, you would. So why don't we get into our last topic of the night, which is the Spider-Man Far From Home trailer.
No Way Home?
Yes. Spider-Man No Way Home trailer.
Yeah, what do you think this is, episode 226?
289, maybe?
Is that what
the
we're
Far From Home trailer?
Are we doing guess the... I can't find a trailer, but I'll find...
I have a hard time. So whenever someone will reach out on Twitter or Instagram about some episode, and I'm like, wait, what did we talk about last week? So, I mean, the fact that I was only 20 episodes away from
that was
guessing
impressive.
That episode,
yeah.
I'll take it. I'll fucking take it. So we saw all...
Far From Home episode, for those of you playing at home, episode 288, Kraven's Last Dance.
Hey, that was pretty close.
Pretty close. So we watched the Spider-Man No Way Home. Trailer 2, which, man, they're just dumping the Sinister Six on us in this trailer, huh?
Fun stuff.
Yeah, I guess so, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got some Electro.
They're all in it.
Got some Doc Ock, some Sandman.
The version of Sandman
was
nobody
Vulture?
Liked.
Was Vulture in it?
No, but he is in the Morbius trailer, so we get that. I saw Lizard was in there.
I didn't see Lizard.
What Hawkeyes you have?
That's next week that we talk about.
I'm pretty sure I saw Lizard.
Yeah, I didn't see. I saw Sandman, Electro, Green Goblin, Doc Ock.
As a matter of fact, I'm not convinced I didn't see the Dane DeHaan Green Goblin for a split second.
I thought I saw that too, because they were sort of back to back. It was the perfect chance they had to give Green Goblin a really good mask, and they didn't. They kept the old one, and then
because that's the universe is from.
I guess,
you know.
Then they showed someone else on a glider, and I was like, "Oh fuck, are they bringing James Franco back?"
I think he's been canceled.
Oh, is he? He's done now,
I
huh?
I think so. Huh. I think even Seth Rogen's turned on him. So.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, maybe the Dane DeHaan version, but is that cheating? And your Sinister Six having two of them be goblins?
No, because the Sinister Six has had different goblins at different times in the past. Was Hobgoblin and Green Goblin on the team at the same time? Is it a team?
I don't think so.
No.
I could be wrong on that, but I don't think so.
Yeah, maybe not at the same time. But Hobgoblin definitely was in the Sinister Six in the
Larson ones. Revenge and Return of the Sinister Six had the Hobgoblin.
Yeah.
Or wait, maybe he wasn't in Return of the Sinister Six, the one that was written by David Michelinie.
No, I think you're right. I kind of remember that cover.
All this comic book talk.
Surprise comic book talk.
Who would have thought? I mean, obviously, if all the villains are coming back, for sure, Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield will be back as Spider-Man.
I
don't know. But they're not in the trailer.
Yeah,
so if it's confirmed, it's not officially confirmed. But I think based on what we're seeing, it's a very, very safe bet that all these Spider-Mans are going to be back. Now,
I want them to hold it off. Don't give me... There's going to be TV spots, international trailers, probably a trailer 3 before this movie comes out.
The final
don't
trailer.
If Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield are in this, do not put them in it.
But they will be in it.
Yeah, that's fine. They can be in the movie. That's great.
They will be in the trailer.
Paul will allow it. They can be in the movie.
They will be in the trailer because how else will we know the entirety of the movie before we go see the movie?
Right.
If they don't put it
on. I mean, there's not going to be
Ian, I get
trailer.
Your... I understand your thick cynicism over there. I get it. But in a fantasy world, maybe just don't... Just let us see them in the movie. So, just don't put them in the trailers. I understand that we're building to all this stuff. And part of me is like, oh man, this would be kind of cool if Tom Holland had to fucking beat all of these fucking dudes. And I also like the really hard decision that's left to Tom Holland in this trailer, where Doctor Strange is like, you know you're going to have to kill all these guys, right? And Peter Parker is essentially like, I don't want to kill anyone. He's like, well, and then Doctor Strange is like, well, that's what happens. Spider-Man kills these guys in all these other universes. And like, I like that sort of, you know, that dark moral take on like, well, fuck, I'm going to have to go kill people. Like, that's really neat. So part of me likes to see just Tom Holland have to fucking defeat all these fucking guys.
Yeah.
But I really want to see these other Spider-Men in this movie. I want that on your left moment where old ass Tobey Maguire pops out of a spinning circle and it's like, I got you, buddy.
He's got like a spider walker.
Andrew
are we
Garfield
supposed
skateboards
to,
in.
Are we supposed to sympathize with the villains then? Like, it's almost like this is their second chance at life or something.
No, because they're villains. We're supposed to sympathize with the moral dilemma that Tom Holland's in of, I need to commit murder.
Well, he doesn't want to kill them, though.
Yeah, was it explicitly murder? Did Doctor Strange say you have to kill
them? Well, no, but he does say they die, and it looks like at some point...
Right, they all die in their universe.
And it looks like at some point... Doc Ock is not going to be definitively against them.
I don't even remember. Did Electro die in Amazing Spider-Man?
Who could ever care?
Boy,
terrible
sure
character.
So, right?
and honestly, did Dane DeHaan die as well? Like, I do
Boy,
not
I
remember.
I sure hope so.
I don't
did
remember.
Sandman
if did Lizard die? I don't remember.
So
I don't think
Sandman died either. I liked that Sandman. I think if they would have focused on Sandman and not done Venom in that movie, it would have been really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Because Sandman had a good plot, good story. I thought Thomas Hayden Church really, you know, gave over to like the sadness and the confliction of that character. But all the Venom stuff, like, why are you casting?
What? Oh my God, can
that 70s
that?
Show guy.
Yeah,
is,
can we have Topher Grace come jump through one of the spinny
circles? I like Topher Grace, but not as like a lot of weird missteps in
Dude,
Spider-Man
could've been,
3.
Could have been Spider-Man himself.
Thomas Hayden Church, yeah. Spider-Man or Sandman was not a misstep. Like, I think his story was really
he
good.
He was so perfect looking in the first half of that movie,
yeah.
And then he
cuz then it got tied up with all the Venom shit and
yeah. So I don't really think I understand what was happening in the trailer when Doctor Strange, hit Spider-Man and Peter Parker came out of his costume, but he left the spider, like it was like he split him somehow. I don't know what was going on.
Doctor Strange thing. Whenever you like knock somebody,
Matt, did you see Doctor Strange?
Yeah.
I can't. Yeah, I
you
saw it,
somebody's
only
like
once.
Being out onto the astral plane.
Okay,
it's, same thing happened to the Hulk whenever he fought. What's her face?
Because all of these characters are conflicted. Doctor Strange is the surgeon and he's the magician. Hulk is the Hulk and the scientist. Peter Parker is trying to be Spider-Man and a regular kid, and that you know magic move that they do.
Doctor
like
Strange
separates.
Is still being a surgeon. He didn't give that up once he got his strange powers.
In Doctor Strange, he is still conflicted about who he is as a magician when
got it.
Tilda Swinton does that to him. So that's, you know, we've seen it a bunch of different times. And like we hear in the trailer, you know, Peter Parker's like, the only time I was happy since I got the powers was 1 week when I told you that I had these powers. So he's conflicted about being Spider-Man, and like this, I'm sure this picks up whenever, you know, J. Jonah Jameson is like, "This is your guy, Peter Parker. He's a villain."
The gist of this movie is him casting a spell where people forget that he's Spider-Man. Yeah.
And it looks like there's some, you know, artifact that looks like the Hellraiser puzzle box that Peter and Zendaya and their buddy are trying to steal from Doctor Strange to set things right. And Doctor Strange is not letting them do that because he needs to put things back the right way. But Peter's fighting against him. And that's what sort of creates all these multiversal rips.
Hmm. Well, is there anything else you want to talk about with this trailer? Or do we want to roll right into Polynomics as to not make our episode too long?
I will say once more, the orchestral Spider-Man theme is a thing of beauty. I love hearing it. It puts me at peace. I absolutely love it.
Does it give you a spider boner?
Sort of. It sort of does. I really fucking like it. And I think the last two movies, it wasn't actually in the movie. It was just used in trailers and then the end credits.
Yeah.
But I would really love it to be used at some like heroic moment of, you know, where like Peter needs to really defy the odds.
Giacchino has done a pretty good job with these scores. Although I will say that I think all of the Spider-Man scores have been pretty good. Even the two amazing ones. One was by James Horner of Willow fame, who sadly is no longer with us. I think he flew an airplane into a mountain or something by accident. And
actors or artists stop flying planes.
Right, right. Leave that to the pilots.
Let plane flyers fly planes.
Right. Plane flyers. Like flute players or flautists?
Plane flyers.
Planists. Not the plainest fly planes.
Yeah, you know what? We won't correct you, yes.
Hey, Ian, why don't you throw some polynomics down on the table for everyone?
I want to say that...
10-point scale, excitement.
I know.
Well, this is not his first rodeo, Matt.
No, but it could be this one of the listeners' first.
You know what?
It's 393rd rodeo.
Like they always say it's every listener's first podcast. So
that's right. I mean,
man, fucking comic talk. Tonight.
As we've always said, this is a great jumping on episode.
expectation and excitement. I will go excitement first. I'm pretty excited. I would say an 8 at this point for my excitement. Is there a little bit of fear in them overdoing it? Yeah, they're jam-packing this thing with every fucking Spider-Man thing that's ever existed. So, yeah, I'm a little bit apprehensive, but it is exciting to see all these different pieces of Spider-Man lore.
Before you even say that, Ian, to that point, hey, look, they put every Marvel character they ever made into a movie in Infinity War, and that worked. That was really great. So it can be done.
Yeah. And then my expectation, what I think it's actually going to, how I'm actually going to feel. I think I'm going to give it double eights. I think I will be happy with this film. And I think my excitement will be met with a quality film. Now, I would love to not watch any more trailers, any more stuff, hear anything else at this point. Like I'm happy right now with as much information as I have, how much I know about the film. I don't want to know anymore. I want to go in. I wish I could go in right now and watch it.
Mm-hmm. I'm on board for that. I don't know how feasible it'll be for Matt. It'll be fine, but I think, you know, you and I are on social media a little bit more. Maybe it's not as feasible for us to have No Way Home blackout, but I'm going to try. Like, I think I feel the same way. I've seen as much as I need to see, and I don't need to see Andrew Garfield or Tobey Maguire or any other spoilery things in a TV spot or any other bullshit. So I'm going to try to not watch any of that stuff.
It is a little bit surprising that it's, or at least for me, just thinking about it, it's very soon.
It's a month away.
Yeah, this movie's right here.
What day does it come out?
December 17th.
December.
Wow. That's pretty crazy. It's always nice, though, to get like that big Christmas release. Mm-hmm. I feel like really ever since Lord of the Rings, it's been like expected. There's got to be something. And then after Lord of the Rings, Star Wars kind of filled that void. And
Harry Potter's were doing Christmas releases.
They were doing Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah. And this year for Thanksgiving, we're going to get Ghostbusters. So it is pretty cool that, you know, that is still kind of holding true, because I feel like Christmas and Thanksgiving are kind of like a bigger deal than the big summer release, really, at this point. I don't know if it's because there's some time off around those days or something, but I don't know. I find it a little bit more enjoyable than like in the summer for whatever reason. Anyway, Paul, do you want to give some Paulonomics for this thing?
My excitement is an 8. I'm pretty juiced for this. I almost want to give it a 9. I'm pretty amped for this. I really love Tom Holland. I love this version of Peter Parker. I think he is the Peter Parker that Tobey Maguire gave us. He is the Spider-Man that Andrew Garfield gave us. He is the melding of the two to give me my favorite on-screen Spider-Man. Suit design notwithstanding, but I really like him as the character. So, you know what? I am going to give it a 9. I'm pretty fucking juiced for this one. And I think it's probably my expectation is maybe a 7. I think it's going to be good. I think I'm going to like it. But I just don't quite think it's going to deliver what I think it's going to deliver. Maybe that's my fault for being so juiced about it, but yeah. And give it the old 9 and a 7.
I'm going to give it a 7 for excitement. Definitely excited, but not like crazy excited. I feel like, especially coming off of Far From Home, which I want to say we gave, or at least I gave like a 6 or something. Like, it was good, but not great. I think I generally feel like this is going to be better than Far From Home at face value. However, my big thing that makes me nervous is that it's going to retroactively like somehow change some of those earlier Spider-Man movies. And even if they don't, like
Tobey Maguire,
particularly, yeah, the Tobey Maguire ones. And even if they don't really, like, it's going to be hard to like shake the knowledge out of my head that like things are different. And I don't
want
that.
At some point between Spider-Man 2 and 3, he goes to the 616.
Yeah. Yeah. And given that, I'm kind of apprehensive. So I'm going to say a 6 for expectations. And I'm fearful it could actually be significantly worse. There's definitely like a healthy amount of curiosity, just because of this is sort of, it's even more unlike anything we've seen, even like the Avengers where they brought everybody together. It's like going into different eras. And I mean, like, fucking Tobey Maguire wasn't Spider-Man since 2005.
Yeah. We're pulling from, you know, completely different franchises essentially at this point. I think it's just going to be fascinating to see that and how those characters interact. So
yeah,
so I'm fucking,
yeah, that, you know, the CW's, you know, Crisis on Infinite Earths did that in theory, but no one else. When we saw Burt Ward and, you know, what's his face from Batman 89, they were just like little vignettes placed into the overall story. They weren't a big part of the story. It's not like they got, you know, Michael Keaton to be, to stand alongside Katie Lotz and Brandon Routh and, you know, fucking kid that played Grant Gustin. Mm-hmm. You know, there were just little bits and pieces sprinkled into this thing, but this is like, holy fuck, that's Willem Dafoe and that's Jamie Foxx and that's, well, supposed to be Thomas Hayden Church, even though he's just a big sand cloud. But then I assume we're
why won't it be?
Yeah, do we think that we can't get Thomas Hayden Church?
No, I mean I'm sure we could, but like they're like we see these other characters, but Sam Annan is just the cloud. And we get who plays Doc Ock? What's that guy's name?
Alfred Molina.
Alfred Molina. Yeah, Thomas like Hayden he's in Church it. We're actually doing
in this movie. He's definitely in this movie.
So we're getting actual people in this movie, like all coming together, being part of the plot. They're going to interact together. So yeah, like this is a big undertaking that we haven't seen this kind of thing before. Mm-hmm. So I mean, good luck, Mark Webb. He's doing this one too, right?
I assume.
Yeah, I mean, if your name is Mark Webb, time you can out. Only do Spider-Man.
Oh no, he
Mark
did the Webb amazing did movies,
the amazing stuff. John Watts is the director of these Spider-Man.
Well, good luck,
who
John
knows?
Watts.
Maybe we could get Sam Raimi and Mark Webb and John Watts all to direct little teeny tiny pieces. Big old mashup.
Let's do it. That's going to do it for us tonight. My name is
Tobey Maguire.
Andrew Garfield.
Tom Holland.
We'll see you next time.